tonight, 100% willing to testify. President Trump accuses James Comey of lying under oath and says he's willing to go under oath himself as Congress demands to know if the president recorded conversations with Comey, and if so, to hand them over. Drastic measures. For the first time, the FDA tells a drug company to pull an opioid off the market, taking action as so many families are caught in the epidemic. Are there more stolen secrets? New allegations in the case of that NSA contractor accused of leaking classified information. What prosecutors say she told her mother that has them so concerned. And team spirit. Why a girl got booted from a soccer game and how her teammates rallied around her that has people across America cheering them on. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. It's great to have you with us on this Friday. President Trump broke his silence on the James Comey testimony today, spinning Comey's mixed bag of conclusions, hunches, and outright allegations into a good day for him and a bad one for the FBI boss he fired. A defiant president today claiming vindication and saying he's willing to testify under oath about the Russia matter, apparently ready to challenge Comey's allegation that the president directed him to drop the criminal investigation into his former national security advisor. Our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, has details.
President Trump punching back, pitting his word against James Comey's, saying he lied and willing to swear to it under oath.
100%.
The president prepared to talk to a special counsel, calling some of his former FBI director's testimony not true. And some of it? Vindication, he says. Like when Comey acknowledged the president was not personally under investigation during his tenure.
No collusion. No obstruction. He's a leaker. And frankly, James Comey confirmed a lot of what I said. And some of the things that he said just weren't true.
Like that now infamous loyalty pledge.
In fact, he asked specifically of loyalty in the context of asking me to stay.
I hardly know the man. I'm not going to say I want you to pledge allegiance. Who would do that? It doesn't make sense. No, I didn't say that, and I didn't say the other.
Comey says he felt the president directed him to let go of the investigation into fired National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
I took it as a very disturbing thing, very concerning.
At the moment, it's he said, but tapes might settle it, if they exist, something the president alluded to in a tweet last month.
Well, I'll tell you about that maybe sometime in the very near future.
He didn't say when.
I'll tell you about it over a very short period of time.
When will you tell us about the recording?
Over a fairly short period of time.
Are there tapes, sir?
Oh, you're going to be very disappointed when you hear the answer. Don't worry.
Today, defiant and aggressive alongside the Romanian president, classic campaign Trump, toying with the media.
Oh, I look at those hands up there, President. Do you have this in Romania, too? I don't know.
Leaving for his Bedminster home, surrounded by his campaign crew, other former 2016 advisors all over TV.
What we saw from him today was visible, clear relief and a sense that he could get himself back on offense by saying, Jim Comey didn't take me down and a special counsel can't either.
Members of Congress are now formally requesting to see the memos Comey wrote that he gave to a friend to share with the media. And a source close to the president's lawyer tells NBC they plan to file a leak complaint against Comey with questions about how much impact that'll actually have. Lester.
All right. Hallie Jackson at the White House. Thank you. President Trump today also jumped back into the diplomatic crisis surrounding Qatar, a key ally in the fight against ISIS. Within about an hour of each other today, the president and his own secretary of state appeared to deliver contradictory messages about the U.S. stance on Qatar and the crisis that has left it largely isolated. NBC's Andrea Mitchell now with more on that.
Stop teaching people to
today, the president accusing a major U.S. military ally in the war against ISIS of financing terror.
The nation of Qatar, unfortunately, has historically been a funder of terrorism at a very high level.
Slamming what he called Qatar's extreme ideology. But only an hour earlier, mixed signals, his Secretary of State urging calm, even calling on Qatar's powerful neighbors led by Saudi Arabia to lift their embargo on Qatar.
We call on the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Egypt to ease the blockade against Qatar.
Rex Tillerson even saying the blockade is hurting U.S. military operations, with Qatar home to 10,000 U.S. forces.
The blockade is hindering U.S. military actions in the region and the campaign against ISIS.
But the Pentagon says that is not true. The embargo is not creating problems for the U.S. military. And more confusing signals since the Saudi summit last month. On Tuesday, the president siding with the Saudis against Qatar on Twitter.
These messages are not in sync, and sometimes when you're not in sync, it could cause confusion and dangerous escalation in the region.
The president met with his secretary of state and his defense secretary only yesterday to get on the same page. So far, it hasn't worked. Though tonight, the White House insists there are no differences. Lester?
All right, Andrea, thank you. With the White House consumed by a state of near-constant controversy, many of the president's marquee promises and the goals of the Republican Party remain unfulfilled. Everything from health care to tax reform to the president's travel ban, all incomplete. We get more on that from NBC's Peter Alexander.
President Trump today flipping through what he calls nonsense paperwork, vowing to cut federal regulations.
It's only the first step in renewing America's roads, rails, runways, and rivers.
A first step, but so far no legislative plan to rebuild America's infrastructure. More than 4 months in, the president's bold agenda is at risk of stalling on multiple fronts.
Obamacare is in a total death spiral.
But health care reform, which they got through the House, is now stuck in the Senate. Americans like Bob Swales are worried. The self-employed Ohio mechanic has rheumatoid arthritis, and his insurer just announced, due to uncertainty, it's pulling out of the state's Obamacare exchange.
It's been real stressful to me because I'm afraid if I do lose my health care, which I'm quite certain is going to happen, I might not be able to work.
The president promising tax reform, too.
We have also proposed a historic tax cut.
But Republicans in Congress yet to fill in the blanks.
We need to get tax reform done sooner than later.
Then there's the travel ban, the president initially calling for a 120-day pause to review America's vetting. Now, 132 days later, it's heading to the Supreme Court.
What do you say to folks who say nothing's getting done?
I think a lot's gotten done. The president, in fact, has now signed 38 bills into law. But there's a lot still to do, and we look forward to getting to work with Congress.
I swear.
The White House points to promises kept, like the confirmation of Justice Gorsuch, withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord, and the signing of 36 executive orders.
It's dawning on a lot of Republicans that unless things change radically, that there's a very real possibility you could go through this entire first year without any major legislative accomplishments.
Heading into the summer, the pressure to deliver heating up. Peter Alexander, NBC News, the White House.
Now to the stunning turn of events involving America's closest ally in the world. Parliamentary elections in the UK that dealt a humiliating blow to Prime Minister Theresa May and leaving an uncertain future for her and what comes next. NBC's Bill Neely has the high drama tonight in London.
She gambled and lost. Prime Minister Theresa May humiliated by an election she didn't need to call.
I will reflect on what we need to do in the future to take the party forward.
Upset by this man.
We will win!
Socialist Jeremy Corbyn, Britain's Bernie Sanders. He can't high-five. He was given no chance until this. May lost a 20-point lead she'd held since holding Donald Trump's hand. Her campaign wooden.
Strong and stable leadership.
Strong and stable leadership.
Strong and stable leadership.
This, her biggest rally. 200 people. 3 weeks ago, she was confident of a landslide. Two terror attacks later, and everything has changed. But it wasn't terror or campaign flip-flops that hurt her.
She's a liar.
Millions disliked her hard edge and the hard Brexit from Europe she promised voters.
No comprehension of what the real people want.
She may be in office, but Theresa May is only just in power. The big question is, for how much longer? From hero to zero and an embarrassing visit to the Queen. It may be her last. May not last the year. Bill Neely, NBC News, London.
Back home now to the shocking new allegations in the case of an NSA contractor accused of leaking classified information related to the Russia investigation. A judge has now denied bail for that Georgia woman after prosecutors claim she may have been planning to disclose much, much more. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the latest.
I want to burn the White House down. That's what federal prosecutors say 25-year-old NSA contractor Reality Winner wrote in a notebook before she was arrested and accused of leaking classified information to an online news site. Tonight, federal agents are investigating whether she may have stolen more secrets, including some on a missing flash drive prosecutors say she inserted into a top-secret computer. The judge citing that as one of the reasons he denied her bail. The government also claims that during a recorded conversation in jail with her mother, Winner said, "Mom, those documents, I screwed up. Documents, plural."
I do have a hard time believing it.
Earlier this week, her mother described Winner as an Air Force veteran and a yoga instructor.
My biggest fear at this time is that they will try to make an example of her.
But she was in tears in a Georgia courtroom as prosecutors said her daughter had two faces, showing a desire to travel to the Middle East to meet Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders, accessing the dark web, and setting up a burner email account to send messages undetected. In another phone conversation, they say Winner told her sister that she would cry in court and play the pretty white cute card. Winner has pleaded not guilty. Her lawyers say the government is making a mountain out of a molehill. If convicted, she faces up to 10 years in prison. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Augusta, Georgia.
After 5 days of testimony, the prosecution is now rested in the sexual assault trial of comedian Bill Cosby. The question now, will Cosby take the stand when the defense begins making its case next week? NBC's Stephanie Gosk has the latest.
When Bill Cosby's trial on sexual assault charges began, there seemed little chance the comedian would take the stand. Today, his spokesman opened the door to the possibility.
In a ball game, things have changed and players are taken out, and sometimes a star player plays and sometimes they don't.
The last time Cosby spoke publicly was in a radio interview in May.
I want to get back to the laughter.
In court today, the jury heard evidence that the prosecution says led to the reopening of the more than decade-old case, a deposition Cosby gave in 2005, talking about how he used prescription Quaaludes in the 1970s. The attorney asked, "Was it in your mind that you were going to use these Quaaludes for young women, plural, that you wanted to have sex with?" Cosby replied, "Yes." Andrea Constand accuses Cosby of drugging her and assaulting her in his home in 2004. Cosby says the pills were Benadryl and the sexual contact consensual. The trial, now in day five, is moving rapidly. Closing arguments are expected early next week.
From the defense side, where have they been able to take hits on Andrea Constand's story?
Really, it's the inconsistencies of time and the contacts, ongoing contacts with Cosby.
Today, a response to questions about why Cosby's wife, Camille, and their children have yet to make an appearance at the trial.
That doesn't say that you don't have the support. What it says is that you want to protect your family from being attacked by this media circus.
The defense will start calling its own witnesses, perhaps Bill Cosby himself, on Monday. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, Norristown, Pennsylvania.
The heat is on this weekend for some 150 million people, with parts of the Midwest and Northeast in for the first heat wave of the season. Starting tomorrow, temperatures will be in the 90s in the upper Midwest, with a heat index nearing a dangerous 100 degrees. The warmth pushes east on Sunday, with temperatures in the mid-90s for both Washington and New York, which could last through Tuesday. Dramatic images from Texas today. The conclusion to a wild police chase on the highway at speeds of 100 miles an hour with a flatbed tractor trailer on I-30. The chase finally coming to an end with a fiery crash in Arlington. A SWAT team surrounded with armored vehicles surrounded the truck. They drew guns on the driver and took him into custody. Still ahead, unprecedented action from the FDA. Why it's asking a drug maker to take a medication off the market. And why that company is pushing back. Also, All for One, how an 8-year-old girl's soccer team is rallying around her after they say she was unfairly disqualified from playing. Stay with us. For the first time ever, the FDA is asking a drug company to pull a painkiller off the market. They say because of its especially dangerous potential for widespread abuse. The government taking action as so many families are caught in the grip of the opioid epidemic. NBC's Tom Costello has details.
As the nation's opioid epidemic rages, the FDA said today the benefits of one pain reliever, Opana ER, no longer outweigh the risks. Especially addictive, as some abusers crush up the pills, boil, and inject the opioids. In Martin County, Florida, officers arrested 53 people connected to what police called an Opana drug den littered with needles. 26-year-old Kyle Broom died after ODing on Opana.
It's really unimaginable. Because I expect to see him every second. When I look through the window at night before I go to bed, I expect to see him.
On the streets, Opana is known as OPs or pandas, as addicts share needles, HIV, and hepatitis rates have spiked.
What we're seeing now is the breakout of heroin and opioids into every community in our county, and I would suspect every community in the United States.
Today, drug overdoses are the leading cause of accidental death in the country. In 2015, 13,000 people died overdosing on heroin. 20,000 died from an overdose of pain relievers. Now, the new FDA commissioner is taking the unprecedented step of calling on the manufacturer of Opana, Endo Pharmaceuticals, to pull it from the market.
This is very clearly an epidemic of addiction, and it may be one of the biggest health crises facing the country, if not the biggest health crisis facing the country right now.
Endo says it's reviewing the request, but disagrees with the FDA and insists Opana is effective when used as intended in appropriate patients. And it's taking comprehensive steps to minimize the potential misuse of its products. But if the company doesn't pull the drug, the FDA may force the issue and withdraw approval, signaling it intends to hold drug companies responsible for America's addiction crisis. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
We'll take a break. We're back in a moment with a big announcement today about the Olympics. Does it mean the Games are about to come back to America? The Olympics could be coming back to Los Angeles following a major announcement today from the International Olympic Committee. LA and Paris are the only two cities left in the competition to host the 2024 Summer Games after three others dropped out. Today, the board floated an unusual proposal giving the Summer Games to both cities. One would host in 2024, the other in 2028. The idea must still be voted on next month. Now to the team spirit in Nebraska. A group of girls rallying together after one of their teammates was blocked from playing in a game because of someone else's mistake and confusion over her short haircut. It's what the team did next in a show of solidarity that has so many people cheering them on. Here's NBC's Kevin Tibbles.
The Clippers came out at the end of soccer practice in support of 8-year-old Dynamo Millie Hernandez of Omaha.
I cut my hair because it's not fair what they're doing to Millie.
Millie's become the talk of the soccer world after being disqualified from a tournament because someone suggested with her short cropped hair, she was a boy.
I got confused, like, why is this happening?
Millie's coach says she was accidentally entered as a boy on the roster.
That was a typo by our register.
And even though they presented documents that proved otherwise, when it came to the rules, it appeared no one would bend it like Beckham and let her play. Millie's whole team was sidelined.
They only did it because I look like a boy.
When others got word of the red card, they cried foul, including Olympian Abby Wambach.
You're inspiring. You're a natural-born leader, honey, and I'm so proud of you.
Another gold medalist, Mia Hamm, has now invited the whole team to soccer camp. As the locks came off, giggles and solidarity.
Millie's like family to me, and she's part of my team. So, yeah, so I really felt like it was necessary to support her.
It's just a way for them to say, Millie, we're here with you. It doesn't matter if we look alike. It doesn't matter how we look. We are all the same.
Standing up for a teammate makes champs of these girls on and off the field. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chicago.
And when we come back here tonight, the viral video making so many smile, a mom leading her family onward and upward. But the little ones can barely keep up. Finally, tonight, after a long and busy week in the news, we want to leave you with something that left us with a smile. A woman in Connecticut recently looked out her window and to her surprise saw a family of bears scaling her backyard fence. Mama Bear made it over, no problem, but her four cubs had little more trouble Three managed to struggle over the top. The fourth used some problem-solving skills and eventually found another escape. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Friday night. Don't forget Sunday night with Megyn Kelly. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.